for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, July the 8th, 2000. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is the speaker of the afternoon.
I wanted to share this afternoon. I'm not going to, the Lord wouldn't let me, but I really wanted to share on the tabernacle. The Lord gave me a teaching on the tabernacle in the middle of the night one time, not too long ago. So I'm going to be obedient, and I'm going to teach on Sister Ruth upstairs was touching on. I thought she's walking all over my sermon, but I'm still. It tells me the Lord wants me to do it. You know, she was just encouraging me what she was sharing. She got on the soul. I'm going to share some on the soul. I haven't done in this time. But you know, the Lord wakes me up. It's my pen. I can't write if I lose my pen, because I get up every morning and write. But the Lord waked me up and began to talk to me about us being the tabernacle of the Lord. And he talked to me about, in case you want to know the title, Glenn, I had it, Satan Wants Your Soul. Satan Wants Your Soul. Okay? Wants your soul. And I'll show you why he wants it. But when I got up, I was going to bed. I told this, I think, the other day upstairs. I was going through the door and the Lord said to me, he would not inhabit an unclean vessel. And I said, yeah, Lord, I'm going to bed. It's 11 o'clock, I think. And I get in bed and I can't go to sleep. So he begins to talk to me about us being the tabernacle of God. And he took me through the outline of the tabernacle, where we are, how we come to it, how we enter in it. And was showing me the table of showbread and the candlesticks, the altar of incense, and going into the Holy of Holies. And I was really blessed. And then he took he was giving me scripture over in Revelation and over in Exodus and so forth. And I sat at my desk in the middle of the night and looked up all the scriptures he was giving me. And the 12, he was showing me the 12 tribes of Israel. I'm just throw this out to you, and you can study it for yourself, but one of these days the Lord's going to let me teach it. But anyways, he was showing me the 12 tribes of Israel, how Reuben's name is a son, talks about a son. I don't have my notes with me on it, but then how Simeon means hearing, and how Levi means joined. And this is the way he showed it to me, that we hear, Jesus was sent to us, and we hear, he came as the Son of God, and we hear this, Simeon, the name Simeon means hearing, and so we hear about him, who he is, and then we're joined to him, Levi joined, and then he used praise. As we know, Judah is praise, and we know his name means praise. See, that when you get in the Old Testament, in the Revelation, it talks about the foundation that's laid in the temple is built on the 12 tribes of Israel. And so here you've got our foundation for us to walk into the tabernacle, to be the tabernacle of God. And then Dan means judging. We start judging ourselves. It's real interesting, but he took me step by step of how that works. I'm really excited about it. I've still got some more of it, and I praise the Lord. I do teach other things other than deliverance, but it's mostly my church that I do it, because when I'm up here, I'm teaching deliverance. So I had someone tell me one time, they had asked me to come and minister, and they said one of the women that had asked me's husband came in, and he sat at the tail end of the teaching, and he said, he wrote me a letter after I got home, 3 pages. He chewed me out upside one side and down the other. Said, All you talked about was the devil. I thought, well, your wife asked me to come over and talk about deliverance. And I don't know how to talk about deliverance except you talk about the enemy. So anyways, praise the Lord. And I'm going to share some to you this afternoon on why Satan wants your soul. He wants to separate us from the Lord. And we don't have to let him do it, okay? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you as your children. And Lord, we come and ask you to open our ears to your word. Lord, we've heard it all week, and we've been hearing the word all week. And I ask that that word just grow within our spirit, that we will come forth, that it will come forth in us, Lord, and bring forth fruit, that we'll walk in deliverance, delivered and walk in the power and authority that you've given unto us. Let us hear with our ears your voice. You said, my sheep know my voice, and another's voice they will not follow. And so, Lord, we are your sheep, of your pastor, we are your children, we are walking in the authority you've given us, and in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for that authority, we thank you for the word, we thank you for all that you've given unto us. And now, Father, I just ask that you just minister to us by your spirit, and I bind the spirit of tiredness and just loose strength to each one here. In the name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen. Let's go over to Psalms in chapter 19. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. In Psalms chapter 19 and verse 7, the word says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And when you look up that word in the Hebrew, it's the word converting. It is restoring. It means to restore, to turn back again, to bring back to the starting point, to rescue, to retrieve, and restore. So the law, the word of God is perfect. It's in restoring our soul. You say, well, some of you have probably never heard the teachings on the soul, so I'm going to do what the Lord gave me to do about it. Your soul needs, God wants it to be restored. And she said, well, why does it need to be restored? Well, I'll get to that in a minute, but let's go over to Genesis chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 7. You know, one of the things we do is question the word and debate it. And that is a trick of the enemy. The Lord spoke that to me this morning. I was studying by 6 o'clock, reading this about 6 o'clock this morning. And as I was looking at this word, he was showing me how we get into so much unbelief. When we shared the other day on healing and eating right foods and so forth, a lot of people don't want to receive it. They don't want to believe it. They want to debate it. And, you know, if you'll just say, Lord, if this is your word and I believe it, and this is what I tell the Lord, I'm going to obey it to the best of my ability. I'm going to walk in it. And if we all know that we need to watch what we eat and be careful of what we eat and eat the things that God tells us that we can't eat. And I'm not going to re-preach that sermon. What I want you to see is when we go to justifying or trying to reason it out, we lose what God is saying to us. And I'll show it to you in the Word. Look, not this verse, but another one. In verse 7 of chapter 2, the Word says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. God breathed into you and I his breath. He breathed it into Adam, and we came from Adam. Okay? He put the soul in us. Our soul came from God. The devil wanted it. He still wants it. He wants your soul. He wants to separate you from God and send you to hell. I have to laugh a little bit. I was doing some deliverance on a lady in our church. And this, you say, you talk to demons. No, I wasn't talking to him. He was talking to me. And I was telling him to shut up. I was binding him. This is one I said the other day. I never did get bound. Because he tells me he's, you know. But anyways, he said, I've got part of your soul. And I thought, you are a liar, demon. You don't have any part of my soul. But what reason I'm telling you this is, he said, I'm going to take it to hell with me. He knows, the demons know they're going to hell. And so he was trying to intimidate me, trying to get me to back off of what I was doing. But the thing that I wanted to, reason I wanted to share this with you, it's the demonic side of the devil's demons that come at us that want to take a part of you, of your soul, and put you something else in its place. Amen? Nobody wants to amen with me. Some of you girls know, and we've dealt with this a long time. So, but anyways, what I want you to see, the enemy wants the part of us, he wants to destroy the part of us that came from God. Our spirit and soul came from God. Our bodies came from the dust of the ground. And so, he's after us, and the way he does it, let's look on over in verse 18 of the same chapter. You know, when God made Adam, when he created him, he made him in God's image, and he was a very brilliant person. He was smart. He was made after God. And God put in him everything he needed. And in verse 18, he said, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet." So he was so brilliant when God created him that he could name every animal that God had created. God brought them to him and he named them. And what Adam named them, that's what their names were. So here he is. He's received his soul and spirit from God. He has a direct communication. See, we're coming back. We're coming back to where God created Adam before the fall. This is what all the deliverance and all the teaching of who you are in Christ and the authority you have in Christ is bringing us back to. And the sooner we believe it, the sooner we get back to where God wants us to be. We walk in the power and authority of the Word. God says we're overcomers. We can overcome. We can walk. He says he created us in his image, but what our problem is, we have to deal with the soulish part of us and the mind and the reason. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotion, your ability, your reasoning, your appetite. And when you look up in the Hebrew, in 53:15, the number in Hebrew for soul, it tells you that your heart and every part of you, of your ability to think, to speak, to do, is in your soulish area. Let me go say this. When we began to get a little older, well, everybody else but me, and Mildred, we sat on the front row last night, and she looked over at me, and she was a zooming in. I said, "Yeah." Two Mildreds sitting side by side. But when we get a little older, people say to you, you forget things. You know, some people do, they forget things. They have a problem. Not me. I have the mind of Christ, and I'm telling you. And they say, "Well, it's just natural. You're getting older." That's a lot from the pit of hell. Moses was 120 years old. And his eyesight was not dim. His natural strength was not abated. Do you think he had poor memory because he was 120 years old? No. You see, God meant for us to walk in the power and authority of his word and who we are when he created us. But because we have set back and let the enemy, well, I'll give you scripture in a minute, because we set back and let the enemy steal from us because we were told it's just natural, to get where you can't walk and you can't talk and you can't think and you're sick all the time. And so it's a lie from the pit of hell because the enemy has stolen from us, and when he steals something from you, he gives you something back in its place. He can take something out and give you whatever. He's even swap, and it's not even swap, but because of the lack of knowledge, God's people has perished and are still perishing, and God's telling us that, hey, get in there and read the book. Let's go on. Let me show you something else. I started off with saying that we reasoned the word. Do you know how he stole from Adam and Eve? Said, well, they ate the fruit. The fruit of the serpent's lips. But chapter 3. And let's look at the first verse. Now, God made Adam in his image and made him smart. He was smart. We agreed to that. He named all the animals. He was smart. And verse 1 says, now the serpent was more was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. See, okay. And for God does know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So the enemy comes into the garden. He comes into your garden and my garden, and he plants doubt there. Well, you know, I know the word says that by his stripes you were healed, but you don't look healed. Do you look healed? That's what the enemy says to him, to us. Well, he was saying to Adam, to Eve, rather, well, you know, God don't want you to be as smart as he is. Well, they're already just like God. God made them in his image, and here the enemy comes in and puts unbelief and doubt in his mind and gets her to doubting. And we go to reasoning, is the word. The enemy works on you and I the same way. Praise the Lord. He does. He makes us doubt. You say, well, I don't doubt the word. Well, if you don't doubt the word and you're not walking in unbelief, why aren't we walking in what we have from the Lord? We're coming there, but we're not there because the enemy has stolen so much from us. Hello? He said to her, for God does know that, I read this one, read it again, that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You see, God is restoring us back to where we were at the beginning. We're going to walk in his image. We're going to walk in we are walking in the power and authority of his name. We're not believing it enough to walk in it the way God expects us to. God wants us to. Are we? Are you where you want to be in the Lord? Of course not. And so we need to start believing that the Lord says he will restore our soul. And I'll give you, you know, the scripture I'll give to you in a little bit. But all this time that I'm talking, think about this. Why have you in all your life in the churches heard pastors say and quote the scripture of he restoreth my soul? And what did we believe about it when he said that? The church I came out of, they preached that and they said, and I was looking at it when I would think about it was, well, that means I'm saved. But that wasn't what it said. How can you get saved? You know what? If the word says that you're saved, you're being saved, and you shall be saved, why is it three parts? You say, well, I'm saved, and if we die, if you're just saved, just got saved, born again, if you die, just go to be with the Lord. But the Word says we're saved, we're being saved, we've got the common salvation, we've got great salvation, we're saved, we're being saved, great salvation, and we've got eternal salvation. Because we haven't had all of our soul, therefore we could not get totally saved because God is having to restore our soul and cleanse out of us the things that were put in us when our soul was torn up, fragmented. God wants us restored. You know, the enemy goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Go to 1 Peter. I have a lot of scriptures on soul, but I'm not going to give all of them to you. I hope you will get into the Word, study to show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the Word of God to see if this be true or not. And I'll promise you the enemy will talk you out of it. I'll try to. 1 Peter chapter 5. Praise the Lord. Well, in verse 8, Peter's preaching here, and he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Peter says that the enemy is going around seeking whom he may devour. How does he do that? Do you ever stop to think? Of course, you say, yeah, I know, he talks to me. He does, and a lot of times we don't recognize him. over in 1 John 4, chapter 4, verse 1, John says, try the spirits to see if they be of God or not. So you've got the enemy talking to you and said, don't believe that woman. Don't believe me. No, believe this. He said, well, my soul's okay. I got all of it. Well, you're as smart and intelligent and healed and walking in the fullness of God, talking to God regularly. I mean, you face to face, you know. Adam and Eve talked to God in the cool of the day. We talk to the Lord. A lot of times we don't sit and listen, stop and let Him talk back to us. But you see, I believe with all my heart that when we have all of our soul, that we will be able to understand more clearly this word and what God wants us to know. We're learning. Sometimes it's so slow. I'm so hungry for the things of the Lord, I don't know what to do. I want the presence of the Lord. I want to be in His presence. Nothing else matters to me. So why aren't you? I'm not back there yet. I'm not there yet, but I'm seeking the Lord with everything. And I continually ask the Lord to restore my soul. So let's go on. Let's go to Job chapter 1. Let's look. Remember, Satan came into the garden to talk to Eve. Well, he's sure going to talk to you, especially after you come to know the Lord. When you open the door to receive Jesus into your heart and life, when you come to the new birth, that's the beginning. In Job, in chapter 1, in verse 6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. So here we see that Satan one thing that encourages me about those scriptures in Job is that Satan has to give an account of himself before the Lord. Sons of God, it said here in verse 6, he said, now there was a day when the sons of God, which are the angels, I believe, since Satan came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. So Satan had to come and appear before the Lord, and what God said to him was, you know my servant Job, you see him? He's a perfect man, an upright man. He said he was perfect and upright. And Satan said, well, he ought to be. You got a hedge around him. I mean, you're protecting him. Isn't it good to know that God will protect us? I believe God protects me, and I know you believe that too. He said, but if you let that hedge down and you let me get at him, well, he won't be perfect anymore. That's my interpretation of what he said. But he said he'd curse God to his face if God would let him would take the hedge down. I'm not going that way, but sometimes the Lord does let the enemy try us. He uses him against us a lot of times to see if we're going to be obedient to him. We usually always fail. We cry and we weep and, you know, we do all that before the Lord. Well, men probably don't, but they probably just complain. Oh, Lord, why'd this happen? Why'd that happen? But God knows us. He knew us before the foundation of the world. But what I want you to see in that scripture is I read it over in 1 Peter. See, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we've got the same, literally the same. Peter said that the enemy goes around seeking whom he may devour. Well, he couldn't devour us as much if we put as I said to the ladies, if we sewed this mouth up. I said a zipper wouldn't do any good. We'd undo it and let our tongues, go forth anyways. But the thing is, we open the door so many times, a curse can't cause us to come. There's got to be a reason for the enemy to attack us. So he comes, he goes around seeking how he can get a little bit more into our lives and a little bit more destroy us and to steal our faith. And he'll talk to you. You don't think he talked to me when I lost my husband? Man, give up, old woman. You lost. I said, you know what? I might have lost a battle, but God's won the war, and you're not going to win. He didn't say it exactly like that, but everything he said to me, that's what he meant. And for a while, I had to really fight to come back. If people hadn't been praying for me, I'm not too sure, How long would it take me? I've come a long ways. I'm not there yet, but I'm kind of going back to my scripture, though. I want you to know that you have an enemy of your soul, and he wants your soul simply because that God's word says that God wants us to worship him with all of our heart, with all of our might, and with all of our soul, every part of our being. You know, we've heard teachings this week on command your body to worship the Lord. Blood, worship the Lord. I learned that when I was in the charismatic church, you know, when I first got filled with the Holy Ghost. I went everywhere. I wanted to be under the spout where the water came out. And I had great timing, and I learned that you, hey, body, line up and praise the Lord. Liver, praise the Lord. Heart, praise the Lord. Worship your God. Worship your Creator. And so the enemy wants to destroy us so we can't worship and praise the Lord. He wants to destroy you and I so that he can defeat us one way or the other. Either kill you or get you where you'll turn your back on God. You say, well, he can't do that. Oh, yeah. Gives you a hard time sometimes. Go to Psalms chapter 7. I'm going to show you how he does it. You know, I started off teaching on the souls years ago over here. I don't know how many years ago. Seems like it's been forever. Probably hadn't. I don't remember when it was. But I was just teaching on soul ties. And that people, we can have a soul tie. We have a soul. You have a soul tie with the devil. Everybody does. And they need to get it broken. If you hadn't broken it, well, we've broken it a lot, so maybe everybody doesn't have it now. You say, how do I have a soul tie with the devil? Well, who'd you belong to before you came to the Lord? So you have a soul tie with the devil. And so we break soul tie. I break soul tie between everyone here and the devil in the name of Jesus. And somebody said, well, I don't have one with him. Well, good, if you've already had it broken. But if you hadn't had it broken, you need to have it broken so you can get free from it. So in the name of Jesus, I break soul tie between each one here and the devil. And I call back the soul and ask the Father to free us from any bondage from the devil. In Jesus' name, in that area. In Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 and 3, it says that the prince, you were under the power of the prince of this world until you came to Jesus. And therefore, you had a soul tie with him. It don't have anything to do with where I'm going, but I'm just trying to show you that the enemy has had a legal hold over us because we have not done anything about getting ourselves free. You say, well, I've been bought by the blood. I'm paid by the blood of Jesus. Yes, amen, thank God. But still you have problems. You're up one day and you fall down another. Maybe not every day, but it does happen. Well, if it's not true, what are you doing here? Why aren't you in heaven? The only perfect person I ever heard of was Jesus. And when we die, if we die before the Lord comes back, we're working toward becoming what he wants us to be. But until we get rid of all this garbage that's in us and get our soul back that God created and put in me, and that's what I ask the Lord for. Lord, restore my soul. Bring it back. He knows where every part of it is. Bring it back. The one you put in me when you created me in my mother's womb. I want to be what you want me to be. Now, I don't want the devil to have an open door to harass or have a free hand. And do my best to obey the word. The word tells us we can be perfect and sin not. How does it go? We don't have to sin. God wants us not to. In Psalms, in chapter 7, in verse 1, are you there yet? Verse 1 says, O Lord, my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. David's saying, save me, Lord, and deliver me from those that persecute me. Well, every time I used to read the Psalms, I thought, boy, the men and people are really after David, you know. I mean, I knew they were, but all these Psalms that he wrote, that in every one of them he was talking about being persecuted, being destroyed, being attacked, and all of this, and that his spirit was wounded, his soul was bruised and cut and torn here. And I never considered it was demonic. No one ever told me demons were real until I learned about deliverance. Verse 2, he said, lest you tear my soul like a lion, rend it in pieces while there's none to deliver. So while you were still in the devil's camp, before you came to Jesus, the devil had an open door to your soul. You had no protection. He had a legal right to do what he wanted to do to your soul because you was a child of the devil. But then we could become children of the King when we come into the kingdom, born again. And so what happens is that the enemy has got a part of us where he can kind of push the right button every once in a while and get you in trouble. I'll give you a good example. At least it was a good example to me because it affected me. I go to church on Sunday morning. First person in the church after I get there and open the door is an 89-year-old man. He comes in, and he knows what button to push on me to get me angry. He said, "Why don't you get rid of anger?" Man, I fought it. I've been delivered from it, and I won over it, but this is the way it worked for so long. He would come in, and I think he thought he was being funny. You ever seen anyone with a dry sense of humor? Which is not humorous at all. To me, it wasn't. And he would always say something to me, and the first thing I wanted to do was hit him. So I wouldn't do that. So I'd try to walk away from him. I'd answer him and try to walk away. A lot of times I'd go up to the pulpit. Usually I was trying to find some songs. You may not believe Barley's singing worship and praise in my church. We have great times sometimes. But anyways, I sing by letter. I tell you. I opened my mouth and let her fly. Phil has tried to, he's come to our church and he has a hard time. No, you never have a hard time playing for me. Cleta's the one who has a hard time finding my right letter. But anyways, I'll get to the pulpit and be looking at the songs, you know, preparing to, and he'll come up and he'll come in, and it's always something of the world he wants to talk to me about. So finally one day I said, "I just had enough of this." I said, let me tell you something. I will put his name back on here again. He might get his tape. He probably will. I said, "Let's don't talk about everything outside and what you've been doing. I just could care less. And whatever you like, that's between you and the Lord. But let's just think about the Lord. Let's talk about the Lord." So he couldn't get with me. So he went and got somebody else. By that time, someone else came in church, and they'd get up and try to run from him. We love him, but he knows what button to push. So you see, the enemy was using him on me. He was. He was using him on me. And I had to go to my prayer closet, which was the bathroom, some place I could get, and lock the door and go in there and confess my sins to the Lord. Because, you see, what happens is when we do this, we just, those, you know, the ones that are going around like the devil going around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour, there's always got to be a spirit around you. You said, not necessarily. Oh, yeah. He's just there waiting. That's what Peter said. He's waiting for an entrance. And then when you get upset, he can, if you don't repent and hurry, he can walk right in. Yeah, the thing is, my whole point is that we've opened so many doors that the enemy can come and take parts of our soul, and although he had a legal right to do it. Until you learn how to stand against it and ask the Father to bring your soul back, and then to keep your doors closed so he can't take it again. Well, these men looking real pious, so I'm going to talk to them for a minute. You're going down the road. I know women don't do this, just the men. They're going down the road in their car, and they're just driving along, just, you know, and all of a sudden somebody whips in front of them. What do you think you're doing? They're out there. I'm being kind. I don't know what all they say, but I've heard some of the things that my own husband would say sometime, and I'd say, "Repent, repent." I know he wanted to shoot me a lot of times. I'd say, "Repent," because we get into saying things we shouldn't, or if you don't say them, you might think them. So we open the door for them. But here we see that David is saying in this psalm that he said, when there was none to deliver the soul, the enemy came in and shredded it. He said, he said, rendered it in pieces while there is none to deliver. And then he says, "Oh Lord, my God, if I've done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. Let the enemy," David says, "let the enemy persecute my soul and take it." See, David's saying, let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. He said, if I've done things that I shouldn't have done, then I've opened the doors. Let the enemy come in and take it. Take my soul. See what I'm saying? So he tells us that before we came to know the Lord, then the enemy had a right to come and get it. And then David's talking about, and what I see is, even after we come to know the Lord, if we're not walking in the love, Sister Ruth was talking about the love upstairs, that we need to walk in love. When we begin to really walk in love and don't, you know what the biggest thing we do that the enemy uses is gossip and talk about our brothers and sisters, especially the leaders, anointed leaders, you know. You know what the word says? Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. We're all guilty. And God's trying to clean up the church. And we need, you know, when I see things like this, and I just saw this as I was sharing, that this, we're all guilty of this, that I stop right then and I say, Lord, forgive me for what any words that I have said about anyone, especially your children. Forgive me, I repent of it, and I ask you to cleanse me of the sin. Now, nobody else believes this like I do, but I'm a firm believer in the soul being restored. And I'll say, Father, I break an evil soul tie of gossip on me, and I ask you to restore my soul. And I call the spirit of gossip and criticism out in the name of Jesus. Can you see that, or am I just... I know it works for me. Until I turn around and open the door again. And we do. I don't want to. God's working on me. He's had me isolated for 8 months now, almost 8 months, 7 months, where I talk to him daily, and we have lots of conversations because he's there and nobody else is except me and him. And I've been repenting of so many things, the things that normally you just don't think about as being anything wrong with it. But God said, hey, get rid of it. And I said, Lord, please restore my soul. I said, you know where all of it is, and I want to be what you want me to be. And I want all this garbage out of me. Okay, let's go to Psalms 23. Praise the Lord. I was thinking about that. Psalms 23 and verse 3 says, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemy, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And he's saying he's going to restore our, he will restore our soul, and then all that the psalm talks about, that we can walk in it, and then we'll dwell with the Lord forever. So, When you think about your soul being fragmented or torn, then ask the Lord to restore every portion of it. I had a demon one time say that I was dealing with a girl. He said part of her soul was in the Vatican over in Rome. And I thought, good grief, what's it doing way over there? You know, I want to know how I got there. You know, and then I realized, when we found out, she had a background, Catholicism in her background, and people had been praying for her and lighting candles for her. If you've got a person in your family that's Catholic that's been praying for you, ask the Lord to restore your soul from those lighted candles and the prayers, those psychic prayers that's been prayed. You know. Okay, let's go on. Let's go to Matthew 16. I haven't taught on the soul in a while. I put it in everything I teach at home. I mean, it just automatically is in my teaching at home, you know. The Lord brings it in. And the reason is he keeps us in remembrance that our soul needs to be restored. And he's working on us to make us ever with whole again. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26 says, For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, the soul can be exchanged for things. You can read the story of the rich man that said, what did he say about soul, take your ease. His barns were all filled, and he said, I'll tear down the barns and build new ones. Said, soul, you can just rest. We're going to enjoy this prosperity. This is my interpretation of it. And as he gets off into pleasure or whatever it is he's doing, God said, "You fool, this night your soul is required of you." So our soul can go into things. It can go in. If you want to look around, you look at the world today. What is the god of our country today? Money. And the soul has gone into possessions. People have exchanged their soul for things. And the spirit of greed is prevalent in our world, in our country, that we just got to have everything. And what we need to do is to, I don't remember if I did it here or upstairs, that I was saying I used to love to shop. I still go out to get out and walk through stores, but I find I don't buy anything anymore. You say, why? I broke a soul that I was shopping and things. I said, Lord, the god of this world had been I would go out. I found when I would go through my closet, I had clothes hanging up that still had the price tags on them. I'm trying to show you. I hope y'all are not getting bored with this, but I'm trying to show you. If you are, I'm sorry. We're going to go through with it because we're going to do some deliverance on this. But your soul can go into things. You can put anything. And you know, after I broke a soul tie with shopping, I can go walk through the store and just walk through and look and never buy a thing. As my husband used to say, you had a successful trip. When you don't buy anything, it's successful. But I have noticed that I can do it. And if I find myself slipping, sometimes I just start going back and do it over again. I think I'm strange. I'm not anywhere near strange. I'm going to be. I'm working on it. You know, the Lord's working on me, and I'm just saying, Lord, whatever you got to do, do it. Because I want to be where God wants me. Okay, let's go on. We'll quit talking about me and talk about you. Let's go to Psalm 71. Amen. 71. In verse 10, said this prayer is of an aged man. He's saying here, for mine enemy speaks against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. Do you know that the enemy lays wait for you to set traps for you? I was praying upstairs this afternoon as people were going home. We knew people were leaving. And I was praying that the Lord would put angels around them as they go and to send angels forth to destroy any snare or trap the devil had laid for them. So the enemy lays traps for us. He lay a snare for us and to destroy us if we'll let him. He said, saying, God has forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. So the enemy will set a trap some way to take to steal our soul. Hey, let me say this. Some of you look like you don't believe, or maybe you're just tired. But let me ask you something. Have you ever seen a person that had no personality? When you look at them, sometimes they just look like there's nothing there. I talked to some people, some young people, some children here, this trip, this camp meeting. And the Lord spoke to me and told me they didn't have all their soul. They were just as vacant. They had no personality, and they could not understand you. You would talk to them, and they didn't understand what you were saying. And they came to this camp, and they did not get, as far as I know, unless somebody prayed for them, they didn't get their soul restored. And I was thinking, Lord, those children, their parents need to know so they can do it and get those kids' soul back to them. Their personality, their ability. I'll show you something in a minute, just a minute. Okay, let's do it right now. Let's go to Ezekiel 13. I used to minister a lot in the homeless shelters, the homeless missions, the missions in Memphis. I won't go to Ezekiel 13. I think I said 16. Did I say 16 or 13? 13 is where I want to go. And there would be people come in off the street, and you say, well, I can understand that they didn't have a soul. If they had any at all, it was just very little. And people will disagree with me about that. Sometimes they do, but if they ever ministered to them, and see what you're dealing with, you'll understand why they're where they are and what happened. And, you know, we had prayed over them and asked the Lord to restore their soul and broken soul ties and did a lot of deliverance on them. Did you know some of those men right today are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Some of them have even been to Europe and have taught over there. Came through the mission where we worked. My husband and I worked. We weren't the only one. My son was working in there too, but there were others that went in. But I went there 3 times a week and taught on deliverance and did deliverance. And what God has done with some of them. Now, some of them just come in. They were, you couldn't do anything with them because they were just really, they needed someone to sit on them and to minister to them and fill them with the word, get the word back in them when you get their soul, parts of their soul back. Ask the Lord to protect that part of the soul and just continue working until you get them where they could understand the word. Some of them would just, what they used to say, break bad, and they'd run. And then they'd come back and you'd work on them a little while again, they'd be gone again. And some of them just disappeared. But we had seen many of them. And I just recently had a call from one of the men that we had dealt with that is now in head of a mission in Memphis that ministers to like 200 people. And he asked me if I would come down and teach. And I said, no, I don't go out at night by myself down there. He said, we'll come get you, my wife, and I'll come get you. And I'm 20 miles from Memphis. And I said, if you want to do that, well, then I'll do it. But he the Lord has raised him up and put him head of this ministry, and people are they're getting people saved, and he knows deliverance. Kind of like this one over here in Little Rock where my son is. They won't let somebody else come do the dirty work. You know, deliverance is dirty work. It's hard work, but it's a rewarding work. But I was glad. I'd be glad to go. I've gone before. I've gone down there to minister at some of the other missions when Jim and I'd be the only white people in there. And I'd say, Lord, we're in here with murderers. All the, when you go thinking about where they came from, Lord, I sure do thank you for your protection. But you know, we never had any problems. So they would walk us to our car and see that we got in, and they would be there waiting on us when we came. And they would just, it was just really, really good because God did a lot of work there. Okay, have you got Ezekiel 13 yet? Let's start with verse 17. It says, likewise, thy son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people which prophesy of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them, and say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes and make kerchiefs over the heads of every statue to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people, and will you save them, save the souls alive that come unto you? And will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die and to save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies? Wherefore, saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillows wherewith you there hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms and will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. He said, here in Ezekiel, he's talking about the daughters which prophesy. But I want to tell you something. When you get involved with a false prophet sometimes, and there's many of them out here, many of them out today, you can have, if you get connected with them, and I'm saying connected, if you get so under them as they prophesy the things you want to hear, that you will find that they will take, just literally begin to control your life. And so here we see, he said this is talking about witchcraft that will make the soul fly. They use a spirit that goes around and hunts the people's soul. How do they do it? It's through witchcraft. You know about astral projection, don't you? That, you know, the enemy uses astral projection. I can't remember who said it, who said it here. Somebody said it here. I don't remember who was teaching. But they're talking about astral projection. I think they said projection, but if there's a false one where that witches and the occult that they astral project, how are they doing it? I don't know how they do it, but there's got to be the real. because the enemy counterfeits everything that God has given us. So what we're seeing is, well, you look like I'm probably confused you here, and I don't mean to, but let me say this to you. Go in a nursing home. I'm going to use a nursing home as an example. And you see people that are really in bad shape. I can tell you an instance from a lady that's the wife. She's a stepmother of one of the women in our church. For the last 4 years, she has not been able to speak, and she's not in a nursing home. She's at home. They're having her husband is 90 years old, and she's, I don't know how she is. But she is not able to speak. She cannot do anything for herself. They have a feeding tube in her chest or in her neck or somewhere it is, or maybe in her stomach. She has been living like that for 4 years. And as I said, they do it, putting that money round the clock, paying for someone to take care of her. Do you think that's godly? And then you see people, now this is, you see a lot of this in nursing homes, people that should be allowed to go on home and be with the Lord. This woman knew the Lord. She didn't know anything about deliverance. She didn't know anything about any things that we know. She wasn't filled with the Spirit. But her husband's in perfectly, he's perfectly healthy. He exercises every day. He's, what did I say, 90? He's 90. He's close to it. I think he's 90, 91. But here he's taking care of her. This is what I'm talking about here. Let me read the scripture to you again. He said, "Woe to the women that sold pillows to our alarm house, purchased their head." He said, "Will you hunt the souls of my people, and will you save the souls alive that come unto you? Will you pollute me among my people for a handful of barley?" I was reading to find out where it is. For pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die. There are those that are dying that shouldn't die. You hear me? Then he said, "And to save the souls alive that should not live." There are people that need to be let go home to the Lord, and yet they're still living. You say, well, they're feeding them and they're keeping them alive. The enemy keeps them alive. A lot of them are not on feeding tubes and all this artificial keeping them alive. There are those in nursing homes that are there that don't know they're in the world, and they are tormented day and night by demonic forces. The nursing homes are full of them, and the devil's just going in and out to just torment them, and they'll scream and holler, and they're miserable, and here they are. They need to go home to be with the Lord, and many of them know the Lord. Have known him, have been in the church all their lives and taught Bible. I know of some people, I don't know them personally, but that taught the Bible, that were tremendous Bible teachers. And here they are, they're in the nursing home, that they should, why are they still living? You said, well, the Lord just hadn't taken them home. That's true. But this word, this tells us here that the enemy keeps some alive that should die. And he kills some that should be living, that God would, the anointing zone that he could use. And so through witchcraft and the occult, we don't know anything about how to fight it. And first of all, we don't even believe it could bother us. We think we're above it. I had a lady that I used to go with her to Kent Hagen's camp meeting years ago. And she knew the word. She could quote you the Gospel of John from first chapter to the last. And her husband left her, and I was telling her that I had read, and I think I read in the newspaper, I'm not sure, but where the witches were praying against Christian marriages that they would be destroyed. And she said to me, well, he can't touch mine. They can't touch my marriage. God put us together. I said, well, do you really think God is responsible for your husband and you separating? Well, she didn't have an answer for me. I said, the enemy is working, and because you believe that he can't touch you, you're not fighting the thing you need to fight. You see, if we don't believe in it, we won't fight it. If you don't believe that your soul can be fragmented and torn and removed, you won't do anything about getting it back. And that unbelief, see, I started off with over in Genesis where Eve got into doubt and unbelief by listening to the words that the enemy was speaking to her. We listen to what the enemy says to us sometime, and we fall into his trap. Amen? But that soul The soul belongs to God. Over in Ezekiel, if you don't believe that, let's go to Ezekiel. I know you know that, but let's go to Ezekiel 18. Verse 4 says, "Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And so because the soul came from God, Ecclesiastes 12, I think it's verse 7, says that the spirit came from God and it will return to God, and the body will return to the dust of the ground which it came. So the enemy wants our soul. He doesn't care how he gets it. He doesn't care if he can turn a person away from the Lord and cause them to be lost. Well, he's happy with that. He doesn't care, but he works on us, and he works on us in unbelief. And let me tell you, he's going around seeking whom he may devour. And I'm tired of him devouring my things that God has given my children and me and my grandchildren and because of not believing the word. We walk in a lot of presumption. The Lord told me after my husband died, he said, "Get back to the basics. Go back to the basics." He says people have come to the, they've heard it, so they don't believe it anymore. They've just forgotten what they did know, and then what they do remember, they don't believe. He said, "Go back to the basics." So I started teaching how to get deliverance. You got to forgive. First of all, you got to believe you need it. Who, me? Sure, you too. I was getting deliverance up here on the front row. I think it was last night or yesterday afternoon. I don't remember. Maybe yesterday morning. She was laughing at me. I got the coffee, and I don't know what he was just, the anointing was just so strong. I was getting deliverance. Well, I got one out this morning. Same thing happened to me this morning. I got out. I didn't want to disrupt him. But I went on back in there and said, "Okay, come on out there. Well, whoever you are, whatever you are, I don't want you to come on out. I don't want anything that's not of God." Afraid we have too much. And we need to recognize the fact that the enemy wants to destroy us. Go back over to Ezekiel 13. Ezekiel 13 and verse 1 says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel, that prophesy and say thou unto them that prophesy of their own hearts, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that allow their own, that follow their own spirit and have not seen nothing." I mentioned just now over there when I was reading the other part of this chapter that he talked about the false prophet. Do you know that the false prophet is the tail of the dragon? And he comes forth to deceive. I find that most people don't even believe in the dragon. Over in Revelation 16, verses 13 and 14, it talks about the false trinity. You've got the false of the counterfeit of the real. You got the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. The dragon is sets himself up as God. Didn't he do that over in Isaiah 14 when he said, "I'll be like the Most High. I will be God. I'll set my throne above the clouds of the throne of God in the heavens." And then, why did he fall? Because of pride. All right, then you've got over in Ezekiel 28, it talks about that he was in the Garden of Eden. So, you've got the dragon, and he's real. It's the devil himself. Then you've got the beast, who is the image of the dragon. Chapter 12 of Revelation talks about what's in the heavens. Talks about the dragon. Well, over in 13, it talks about the beast, who is counterfeit. He's the image of the dragon. And then you've got on further in 13, it talks about the false prophet, the tail of the dragon. It doesn't call him the tail, but that's who he is. And in Revelation 16, it talks about the out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and false prophet were the frogs that come forth. Lord, tell me one time those frogs represented the words, words of witchcraft and curses that were coming on God's people. Curses coming out of the false trinity. So we are fighting the powers of darkness. Are you aware of how much the devil hates you? Do you really believe it? He would kill you in a minute if he could. I'd like to laugh. I've had demons tell me, they say, "I hate your guts." I said, "I'm so glad I'm not too fond of you either." And I said, I'll kill you if I could. I said, I thought that's good to know. I didn't think you could anyways. They said, if it wasn't for those blankety-blanky angels, we'd have had you a long time ago. And one day, we'll get you. That's what they tell me. I said, well, I'll be on my guard. Glad you told me. So, you see, God has His protection around us, and they hate us. I would dare say that you've got some spirit assigned to you if you're really a believer in deliverance. If you're doing anything to harass, to hurt the kingdom of darkness, you've already got somebody assigned to you. You've got a demon assigned to you. You said, not me, okay. They tell me sometimes that every time I get rid of one, they always send another one. So I'm always glad to know, you know, that I need to fight. I want to know what I'm fighting. I don't know who I'm fighting. I know I'm fighting the devil, but they assign a demon to watch you. They don't like me too much. And I thank the Lord for that. And they won't like you if you really believe that you have authority over the power of the devil. And people say, well, you make us, it's so scary. I said, why? Why are you afraid? God loves us. He's given us His angels. He's given us Jesus. And the name of Jesus is greater than anything the enemy's got. If you had nothing else, you had all the power there is in the name of Jesus Christ. But He's given us the angels of the Lord. He's given us the Spirit, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And the Word tells us the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God. And I thank God every day for the warfare, the weapons He's given me. We're His battle axe. It's weapons of war. Jeremiah 51, verse 10, I think it's verse 10 or maybe 20, says that we're the battle axe of God. We're His battle axe and we're His weapons of war. Are you warring? If you're not warring against the enemy, could be that something's missing, that maybe the enemy has taken out of your soul the part of you that believes and giving you a spirit of unbelief so you won't hurt Him. Hey, church, come alive. Glory to God. Glory to God. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He said, hey, just because I'm talking about the soul, don't turn off the Word. Don't get depressed. Get up and just say, hey, I've got authority and I'm going to be restored. I'm going to walk in the power and authority of God. That when I walk down the street, people are going to get healed and get delivered and said, ooh, get away from me or what have you got that I can have? And God wants us to be that way. And He doesn't want us walking as defeated people. He doesn't want us sick. He wants us to thank you. He wants us to walk in the power and authority of the Holy Ghost. And yet we sit around passive. You say, well, I'm not always like this. Yeah. Yes. You know, greater is He that's within me than any devil, even Satan himself. I haven't seen him. Hopefully I won't see him. But I'm not afraid if I do. Because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I know my weapons. And I know the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord. Do you know that the Word tells us that over in James chapter 2 and verse 19, that demons believe and they fear and tremble at the name of Jesus, at the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. When you're doing deliverance, sometimes you need to call upon the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost because you're fighting the devil and the dragon and the false prophet or what his demons of hell. They fear and tremble when you use that name. Okay. I got a couple more scriptures and then we're going to do some deliverance. I think everybody's about delivered out, but we're still going to do it. Praise the Lord. I'll get you up and get you to doing one of the things we do in our church. When people get really draggy on me, I said, we're going to sing Peter and John. And they look at me like you lost your mind. I said, no. You know, Peter and John went to pray and they met a lame man on the way. And he held out his palm and he asked for an alms. And this is what Peter did say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They went walking and leaping and praising God. You don't think it'll wake you up? It will. It will. I just tell you that if y'all don't wake up, I'll get you to sing Peter and John. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I do praise the Lord. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 6. Amen. In chapter 6 and verse 32, adultery destroys the soul. We We've talked about this, but I wanted to give it again because for the simple reason, since we're talking on the soul this afternoon, the word says, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. By the way, if anyone in here has been married more than once, you know, if you've been married and divorced and remarried, you need to break a soul tie with your wife, first wife, and call your soul back. It's an evil soul tie. You need to get your soul restored. And you need to call, I'm a believer of calling the soul out of someone else's soul out of me. I don't want it in me. So if you've remarried, if you've been married before and divorced, then you need to break an evil soul tie between you and your spouse, man or woman, in the name of Jesus, and call back your soul and ask the Lord to restore your soul from the individual. Because you don't need to, if you have problems after you've divorced, like thinking and your mind's on the individual. See, I did this in the area of my husband dying. I continued breaking soul ties between he and I, evil soul ties. These, you can't break a good soul tie. Just ask the Lord to destroy the evil soul tie. Because when I taught on this upstairs on spirit of grief, and the tape didn't make. I taught on how people get into necromancy and worship of the dead. Tape didn't make. Neither one of those tapes were any good. But yet, it was so important. God gave me that one on grief because he had been showing me so many people that were widows of widowers and that they were still grieving over their spouses that they had lost. And he had shown me how to get free from the bondage that I was in. And the death through that evil soul tie between my husband that had died, and I'll tell you this since that tape didn't make, that I wanted to die. I just didn't see any reason to live until I broke this. My son said to me, Mother, I know you got rid of the spirit of death when Dad died, but did you break a soul tie between you and him and death? No, I hadn't thought about it. So I broke an evil soul tie between, I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, break an evil soul tie between me and Jim, that spirit of death that came at me will have no legal ground, and I renounced it in the name of Jesus. If you went to the cemetery and talked to the spouse that you lost, you got into necromancy. Your dead spouse appeared to you, you're in necromancy and you're dealing with a familiar spirit, and you need deliverance from it. People get into this stuff, and even people that know deliverance, you know, we know that you don't talk to the dead. The dead doesn't come back to you. They're with the Lord. The only place that we've read anything at all about that is in Samuel when Saul went to the witch of Endor. And God says it's an abomination, and it's not only abomination, it brings a curse of death upon you and me. I repented of it. I was going around the house just mad at Jim, and I was just talking to him. And when the Lord reveals me, he said, stop that. Get rid of that. I repented of it. And I asked the Lord to forgive me. Then they did deliverance on me for necromancy or familiar spirit, anything. If it came in through me talking, I sure didn't want it. I'm telling you this, people, because this is another area that the enemy has deceived us. It brings a curse of death upon you if you have gotten into necromancy with someone that's died. And the first, you know, I should have been aware of this, knowing deliverance as I do. But you see, when my husband went home to be with the Lord, the nurse told me after he died, now, you'll probably get sick. And I said, well, I'll break the curse of your words in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to get sick. She says, well, usually, always they do. And I said, well, they ain't me. Excuse my English. I'm not going to get sick. And I didn't think about what I knew she was cursing me. I broke the curse, and I dealt with that. But I didn't think about what God was trying to show me. So what she said was that curse of death would come, was still there, and that I need to get rid of it. And I have to believe that's what had me talking to him. I was just walking around the house fussing. I was mad at God. I was mad at him. I was mad at the doctors. I was mad at everybody. I was mad at me. You know, you keep thinking, what could I have done? What did I didn't do? What I should have done? But the thing is, we need to be aware of what we do. And I repented of it. I said, Lord, forgive me. I'm so glad he's with you. But see, I was feeling so sorry for myself. Poor me. He's with Jesus. I'm here by myself, and nobody seems to care. So, Lord, just take... I said to the Lord, what'd you take him for? Why'd you take me? He wouldn't have been in near as much trouble as I am. I was telling the women I learned how to fix flat tires. Not because I wanted to, but because I had to. My lawnmower had two flat tires on it. After I paid $162, I thought, that's too much. I'll fix it myself. I got me some flat fix, and I did. Praise the Lord. Well, back to this. He said, it says that when you commit adultery, he said, you destroy your own soul. Then he said over in the 33rd verse, it says, a wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. You get a wound in your heart and in your spirit when you commit adultery. One more, I want to go over to, I have to back up. I want to go to two more, but let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 18. And if you don't know anything about soul ties, let me give you this one. In 1 Samuel, do that every time, Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 1 in chapter 18, it says, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. So Jonathan and David's soul was knit together. If you look at that word, look up that word knit, It tells you that it was tied. His soul cleaved to David's soul. They were joined. It's the same thing as when a man and a woman get married over in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, where God says they become one soul. When a man takes a wife and they're joined together in marriage, they become one soul, one flesh. When that one flesh is, they become knit together. Their souls become knit together. And that's why it's necessary if someone dies or they're divorced. What happens is, in a divorce, just like with a death, I said the only difference in the person being divorced and the person losing their husband in death, the one in death didn't die because they wanted to. They died because they died. But during a divorce, it's because one person or the other doesn't, wants to end the marriage. And look at it like this. The way I felt when my husband died, that I wasn't a complete person anymore. And it's taken me a while. And the way you feel with a separation or a divorce is that you feel like part of you is missing. And it is. It is missing, because I was married for 55 years. You don't think part of me was missing when I lost my husband? And so God had to restore. And I would continue breaking soul ties with everything. Every time the Lord would show me that I need to break a soul tie in an area, like a memory that I need, that hurt but so painful, I said, Lord, I just break the evil soul tie between Jim and I in this situation. And free me from the pain of it. Remove the grief from it so I can remember it and it not hurt. God has been doing that. He took the pain away. Because I had never experienced pain like I had did when I lost him. We were joined together. And so when he died, part of me was gone. When you lost your child, the same thing, wasn't it? Same thing. Because you see, you're so close to him. Okay, one more scripture, and I promise to quit. We'll do some deliverance. Let's go to Isaiah 53. The 12th verse says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressor. When Jesus died upon the cross, he poured out his soul unto death. And the Lord gave me that this morning when I was studying on the soul and was showing me that the enemy wants to remove the soul so he can kill a person. If he can If the soul, if Jesus Christ, if he poured out his blood upon the cross, we all know that. And as the soul was poured out, he poured it out for you and I. So whatever God had done, has done for us, the devil wants to destroy it. And so if he can get our soul, it started off with saying that the enemy wanted the soul because it came from God. And he doesn't want us to have that connection with the Lord. Let me ask you one thing, and then I'm going to close. How do you understand the things in the Spirit that God gives you in the Spirit if you do not have your soul to let the words come back through? See, the words you receive from God in the Spirit, right, Mildred? And it comes back. When God gives it to you in your spiritual understanding of what he's saying to you, comes through your mind, your will, and emotions. See what I'm saying? Am I going home? Is everybody going home, or do you anybody see this? You've got to understand. You say, well, I got it in the Spirit. Well, where does it come? Out your mouth. How does it come out of your mouth? Through your thoughts. You've got to hear what the Spirit's saying to you so you can speak it out. And that's what I'm trying to say, that it's got to come through our spirit, our soul. And the enemy says, well, if I can remove this and block it, block your understanding of what God's giving you in spirit. How many times have we been told this week that God is always talking to us? And we don't always hear and understand, do we? Now do you understand what I'm saying? Everybody's looking at me blank. Maybe but I want you to know that you've got your mind, will, and emotion, and it comes through as your soul. You say, well, it's coming out of my spirit. I know it is, but how are you going to give it to someone else if you don't put voice to it? And that comes through your knowledge and your up here. I mean, the word comes through. How many times have you heard people prophesy? Let's do it like this. Or give interpret a tongue, the message in tongues. And you can tell when the Spirit of God quits and they take over. You see, the Spirit stopped. They're still speaking. But the first part of it was God speaking through them. But it still came the same way, but the second part of it, maybe all of it, came through, was the person. I see I'm not getting anywhere, so I'll just quit anyway. Think about it, okay? Go before the Lord and ask him about it. Amen. Over in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. Well, if we do, why don't we act like it? And he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have to let the mind of Christ be in us. And see, the mind is part of the soul. But we have the mind of Christ. We should be walking and acting like him. But because of the fragmented part of our soul and all of this. Okay. And 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope I hadn't confused y'all, but I tell you, God wants us. He wants us to be restored. He wants us to walk in Genesis 1, 26 and 28. In dominion, authority over everything he created in the works of his hand. He said he's given us authority over all the works of his hand. Psalms 80 tells us that we have it. Does anybody want deliverance, or are y'all too tired? Okay, praise the Lord. Well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you now to receive deliverance. Lord, I pray that I have not confused anyone or misled anyone. I ask, Father, that you just reveal truth to them in the name of Jesus. Not my truth, Lord, but your word. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I bind the enemy off each one here in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come and we come ask you to restore our soul. We believe. Do you believe that God can restore your soul? Okay, let's say, Father, in the name of Jesus, your word says you restore our soul. Father, you know where all of it is. And we ask you to loose your angels to go forth and gather up our fragmented soul, our fragmented mind, and our fragmented emotions, and restore, Father, put back within us, Lord, all that you did when you created us in the womb of our mother. And Father, we believe that you that you can do this. We know you can. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I come against the spirits of bondage in the name of Jesus, Antichrist spirit, divination, in Jesus' name. I come against this, all kinds of pride. Pride, big pride, little pride, in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirits of the dumb spirit, error. I'm coming against spirits of Satan. That's what all these are, in case you're wondering. In the name of Jesus Christ, I come against fear, a foul spirit, all fears, little and big, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of deep sleep. Come out of there now. Spirits of insomnia, jealousy, a false prophet. In the name of Jesus, we come against the spirit of false prophet. Come out of them. In the name of Jesus Christ. You know, Ruth was touching on something upstairs that I've not heard anyone talk about, but I used to do it myself in deliverance. I call out every spirit from the subconscious mind. She was talking about our subconscious mind. I had not heard anybody talk about that. And so I come against it. In the name of Jesus, I kind of backs off when people begin to look at me strangely. So I call out any demons that are in the subconscious mind. In the name of Jesus Christ, loosen them and come out of there. Every thought, every evil thought, everything that the enemy has planted there. In the name of Jesus, that will come back, come forth later and torment us. In Jesus' name, let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come against bitterness, wrath, and anger in Jesus' name. Evil speaking. I come against the spirit of criticism, backbiting. In the name of Jesus Christ, let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Father, I break every curse of adultery over everyone here, and I call out the spirit of adultery. Come out of them. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have any of these spirits and you're not getting any deliverance, cough the things out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn them loose and come out of there. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, spirits of adultery, anger, jealousy. In the name of Jesus, filthiness, pornography, foolishness. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. Foolish talking and jesting. Come out in Jesus' name. Seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, come out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Rebellion, witchcraft, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unbelief, spirits of unbelief. Spirits of unbelief, turn them loose and let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I don't believe in deliverance. Come out of there in the name of Jesus, you demon, you. In the name of Jesus. I don't have any demons. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come out of there. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Turn them loose. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I call out every demon loose from the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Turn them loose and come out of there. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. I come against spirits of gluttony, addiction. I break every curse, alcoholic curse over this church, everyone here. In the name of Jesus. It's on everyone, because there's someone in your family was an alcoholic. You don't may not even know it. Maybe you do. So I call out every alcoholic curse. Come out of there. I break the curse of alcoholism over you in the name of Jesus. Call out the spirits of alcohol, addiction, spirits of addiction to alcohol, to beer. I was telling church up there, I was talking to ladies upstairs. I said, my son, the Lord had me pray for him. And I was calling out addiction. I said, come out of there, addiction. And I heard this thing say, heard him say, Bud. I said, Bud. Okay, Bud, come out. I didn't know who he was talking about. He said, Mother Budweiser, spirit of Budweiser, come out. Budweiser, come out. And then he said he always drank Budweiser beer. And so I called the spirit of Budweiser out of him. And he delivered. In the name of Jesus, come on out of there. All this beer, alcohol, wine, addiction to it. I call it out in the name of Jesus. Taste and craving, not only for alcohol, but overeating, for any kind of drugs, in the name of Jesus Christ. Loosen them and let them go, in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and come out. Let them go, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, come out, let them go. In the name of Jesus, spirits of self-hatred, self-rejection, hatred, come out of there. Self-hatred, rejection, self-rejection, fear of rejection. Let them go. Loosen them and come out of there in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and come out. Let them go in Jesus' name. Praise you, Jesus. Come on out of there. Come on out of there. Let them go. Let them go. I'm telling you, this is the cleanest bunch of people I've seen in a long time. Praise you, Jesus. Come on out there. All the spirits, come out there. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loosen them. Loosen them and let them go. In Jesus' name. Unbelief and doubt, all fears, in the name of Jesus. Fear of death. Fear of death. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Turn loose and come out there. Let them go. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let them go. Turn them loose and come out. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. Come on out there. Turn them loose. In Jesus' name. All witchcraft spirits. I call out familiar spirits in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Spirits of necromancy. Spirits of death. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Spirits of talking to the dead. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out of there. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Praise you, Jesus. Come on out of there. Let her go. Let her go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise you, Father. Come on out of there. Let her go. Let her go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Anybody got anything you want me to call? I'm going to close. If you got anything you want me to call, tell me. Anything you had, I've missed? Would you tell me? Oh, okay. I call all the spirit of Barabbas out in the name of Jesus. Spirit of Barabbas, come out of the back and the chest in the name of Jesus. Come on out of there. The spirit that brings death, that's what he does. He kills. Come on out of there. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come on out of there. Turn them loose. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and come out of there. Let them go. Spirit of Barabbas, let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Jesus is Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.